ladies and gentlemen, it's time for the most famous words in motorsports with your host, Lugs and the Gas Man. Ladies and gentlemen, start your podcast.
Hey folks, welcome back to another week of Wrecking and Racing. This is your host, the Gas Man. Yes, everybody, calm down. I am back. And my co-host, the wonderful and brilliant Lux.
Well, thank you. Thank you. And glad to have you back.
Yeah, sure you are. You guys talked a lot of shit about me last week. Sokka, I'm calling you out right now.
Me? What did I say?
I do not need an extra large shirt from Trevor. I need a 2XL shirt from Trevor.
What? Well, I didn't talk crap. Don't bring me into this.
Sokka,
I was nice because I knew I had to see you this week. Yeah. So.
Well, I appreciate that. Excuse me. But I know Sokka was throwing me under the bus quite frequently that last episode. So just to clear up things, no, I wasn't out like hitting strip clubs and stuff. I actually had my daughter's birthday party that night.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah. She turned a big 8 years old. So you guys can make all the jokes you want, and no, I was not at a Trump rally, because that's what you were thinking, so that was not the case. Yeah. Not that that's bad or not. I'm not getting political on the show.
Well, I just know it's deer season. I thought maybe...
Yeah, that's this weekend. This weekend, I will be out in the woods most of the weekend.
It was bow season prior, right?
It was bow season. I'm not a bow hunter. I don't have time
You're
to
not.
Bow hunt. No, I'm not a bow hunter.
I thought you had a bow.
I have a bow. It doesn't mean I bow hunt.
Okay, then.
I have a bow. I have a crossbow.
Gotcha.
Shitty bow, because I don't want to use it. Mm-hmm. Anyway, anywho, as people would say. So, folks, welcome back to another week of listening to this awesome, fantastic, wonderful show. Right?
Oh, yeah. If you say so.
Fans, thank you for listening. Thank you, as always. Thank you for telling friends. If you have not told a friend, please do. Go on the iTunes and rate us. That's how people find us. I know we suck. At least give us that courtesy.
Oh, we don't suck. We're awesome.
Yeah, true. True. I just don't give ourselves enough credit, Lugs.
Yeah, you're really building up our Twitter presence.
Yeah, we are now almost like we're basically even between Twitter and Facebook now.
Yeah.
And we usually put a lot more emphasis on Facebook. Mm-hmm. Not that one's better than the other. It just tends to be more easier, I guess.
Facebook's
I don't know.
Definitely
I've never been a big Twitter person, but it's kind of funny because you've kind of handled the Facebook stuff, and I've kind of handled the Twitter stuff for the most part. We kind of overmingle a little bit. But...
Yeah. Twitter's just never appealed to me a whole lot for some whatever reason. I've always had an account since, I think, like 2006, but I just... It's never really been something I got on daily.
Yeah, before this show, before we started our show, I say I was probably made a total of 10 Twitter posts.
On your personal?
Life.
Yeah.
And I don't even have a personal one anymore.
Deleted it?
Yeah, I changed it to my gun shop, and then I got this one.
Like
for
your Tinder account?
I changed my Tinder account to shooterslane.com. It's bringing all the girls in with the bang. Stupid pun, I know. And no, I am married. I've been married for over 2 years. I do not have it. Well, I guess officially I have a Tinder account because I never deactivated my Tinder account.
Yeah, because it notified you
a couple weeks ago. Yeah, I got the email about.
It's like, your profile is going to be deleted.
Yeah. Shucks. There goes all my side chicks. Don't give me that look. That's a joke, Logs.
You don't have no side chicks. I know. That's why I was looking at you.
Okay. So let's go on.
Let's get to the racing.
Yeah, so let's get to our beer first. So let's open up and start the show with the official beer of NASCAR. I'm just thirsty. That's why I want to hurry up and get to the beer.
How about that weather out there?
It is shitty. So where we live right now, we are getting... sleet, and it's supposed to be up to a quarter to half inch of sleet. They're supposed to get several inches of snow on top of that.
And then maybe switch back to rain tomorrow.
Oh, boy.
So it's going to be a nice, fun mess.
That's not a big deal. I got big old fat, meaty tires on my truck. I ain't worried about it.
Yeah, till they do you no good. Grip only does you so good for so long, man.
Especially on ice.
Right. Remember, black ice is not your friend.
I've had plenty of experience with black ice over the years.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well,
I don't have many friends in white logs.
I know. Do you have any?
My wife and daughter, I guess.
Notice I didn't include myself.
Yeah, though. I know. Either did I.
It's mutual. All right. Well,
where shall we start?
Let's start with ISM, I guess.
ISM, is that something like Snapchat?
No, that's the new track name for Phoenix.
That's SSM or something, or MMS or something. Like, you know, all the, I don't know, texting or something. I don't know. What's that? MMS?
Yeah, I think it's MMS.
I don't know.
I haven't heard it referred to that in a long time.
Yeah. Okay, I'm old school.
So what's your thoughts on Phoenix?
It's very hot, usually. But they say it's not that bad because it's a dry heat.
That's something white people say.
What the hell?
I saw
what the hell is that supposed to mean?
I saw that on it was a meme on Facebook the other day. It was like that's how you know it's a white person talking about the temperature, because they say it's not so bad. It's just a dry heat. There's no humidity.
Okay. Okay, whatever. Let me tell you, I've been to Phoenix in the middle of summer. It's hot. I don't care if it's dry or wet, damp, whatever. It fucking sucks. It is horrible. Go Indiana. We have bad enough summers, but it's not Phoenix. So anyway, yeah, you're talking about the race, right?
Yeah.
It's not Phoenix. It's ISM.
Well, that's what I referred to it as in the first place.
You said IMS, didn't you?
No.
That's Indianapolis Motor Speedway.
I said ISM.
I don't know. Just give me a shit. I don't know. I've had a week off.
Really rambling tonight.
I am. I had a week off. I'm out of practice. I haven't got a chance to say all the stuff I want to say. Like, Sokka, screw you for saying all that crap about me.
Man, you are on a soapbox.
There's no soapbox. Soapbox can't hold this. I fall right through.
I'm not going to argue that. I've seen you fall through things before.
Yeah, so I actually wish I could, find that video. I would post it on our Facebook.
It's on your Facebook.
Somewhere.
Yeah, I found it at your Halloween party, remember?
Nah, I'll have to find it and try to repost it to our page. Anyway, what Lugs is referring to is this funny, because we're working in my garage. We're actually hanging up cameras at my house, and Lugs would sit there, and he watched me fall through the ceiling. I land on the floor of my garage, and he comes running over to me. Hey, dude, you all right?
Well, hey, in my defense, I already had my phone out. I was prepared to call 911, so.
Thank goodness for Christmas ornaments last year.
Yeah.
Because I had that tote, that stair-like tote full of Christmas ornaments I landed on. It saved my life.
Yeah, another two feet further back, you would have landed on your motorcycle.
Yeah, I would have hurt my motorcycle and probably broke my neck. So it's funny, because talking about my house, I'm sorry I'm getting off on a tangent here. But I have a little, like, leak in my garage right now. There's a piece of my roof that's screwed up, and it's leaking in right there. I had an insurance adjuster come out yesterday. That leak is, like, 3 inches from that spot. He's like, huh, looks like maybe they've had some issues before. Looks like they've repaired the roof, whoever had the house before you. I'm like, nope, that was me. And I was like, I fell through the ceiling.
At least you admitted to it. I probably would have been like, oh, yeah, you're probably right. I would never have probably admitted to that.
I'm an honest guy. Even it makes me look like an idiot. Okay, anyway, Phoenix, racing. Yeah, we have a racing podcast, not a personal lives BS podcast.
That's true.
You know, it feels like that half the time. Right?
Yeah.
Okay, sure. So this week, you know, obviously we'll go ahead and, you know, the winner, obviously everybody knows, was Kyle Busch. He punched his ticket to the next round, guaranteed, even though there was really no question about it.
He already had it locked up before he even won it. They came on the screen and said, like, I guess he had secured enough points.
Yeah, he had enough bonus points.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we knew that was going to happen anyways. He would have had to have something major happen early on to not advance. So,
yeah. So not to really talk a lot about Kyle Busch, because, hey, he won it, he's in, blah, blah, blah. The story was actually Kevin Harvick. Because last week, I chose Kevin Harvick to win the race, and he did. He punched his ticket, right?
Yeah. Right? And then talk about what happened after that.
And then, yeah, he looks like a freaking idiot, and his team got penalized and points taken away, and his race was encumbered and blah, blah, blah.
We don't use that word, remember?
Whatever. Encumbered.
But yes.
Anyway, started the race is only 3 points to the good.
Yeah. And Kurt Busch, his teammate, was 3 points behind. So it was kind of a toss-up. Could have been one of the two of them. And for a while, Kurt was in position to take that spot.
Yeah, absolutely. Then he screwed up on pit road.
Yeah.
Coming in at pit road.
Past the pace car.
And then you had Chase Elliott, who he was kind of a long shot. He had to win the race pretty much.
But he was
man, at one time, he was right there leading the race. I chose him to win the race because I had hopes in him. So he was leading, and Eric Jones, who I finished, you know, my dark horse, was like third. I was looking like a genius for like two laps. Then it all went to hell.
Yeah, and then Chase sped on pit road, which, gosh darn it, man. Why? I get you got to push it, right? You got to be right on the line. You give anything up, you're going to give up spots, you know. But it just sucks for that team. Any team that's comes down to the wire like that, and you're potentially... position to potentially win in advance, and you have something like that happen.
I mean, there's a lot of storylines. So you have Kurt Busch getting penalized, Chase Elliott getting penalized, Clinton Bowyer hitting the wall. Mm-hmm. He blows a tire.
Logano, same thing.
Yeah, there's so much to take away from that. I mean, okay, let's just talk about the racing product for a second without the championship. How'd you feel it was?
I thought it was all right. I mean... I wasn't like wowed, but I wasn't bored of it either.
There was
a lot of passing.
I loved the restarts.
I loved the restarts. That was them moving the start finish line to the back stretch off of old turn four. That was, or off of old turn two, is definitely a good move. Because then, you know, as soon as they got that restart, they were like four or five
there's
wide.
One person who had that mother figured out.
Oh, yeah.
Kyle Busch made up how many spots on restarts?
He's the king of restarts, man.
He is, but man, just the way he went in on the inside on that corner and made it stick every time he passed like six cars every single time.
Yep, that's how he got in position to lead, too.
Yeah, so, I don't think he was a dominant car.
No, absolutely not.
I just think he put himself in, he made the moves that put himself in that position.
Exactly. There's no disputing he's always been king of restarts.
No, I agree.
And bet your ass this weekend at Homestead, there's a restart with 10 to go, and he's within a couple of rows. He's gonna make something happen.
Yeah. So it's about making things happen. Let's talk a little bit about Denny Hamlin. He kind of made things happen.
Yeah, he did. That he did.
So Hamlin kind of, I guess you say, pinched Kurt into the wall. Mm-hmm, Kurt got into him. They spun, came down, took out Chase.
Yeah.
At first looks, I'm like, oh, maybe Chase's car's not hurt that bad. Till it went on to the other side of the car, like with the camera.
All
and it's like,
like
a, oh, yeah, like a like, can opener.
Like had been skinned alive. Yeah, yeah.
So much for that.
Yeah, and then did you see all of Chase's fans attacking Hamlin?
Yeah, so there's actually, I have a note here about what Hamlin said about Chase and his fans.
Mm-hmm.
That they're...
Delirious,
passionate, but delirious.
Yeah,
I was like, boom, shots fired. I posted that on Twitter. So let's talk about that. What's your take on comments like that?
That's ridiculous.
Let me put it this way: you're a Chase. I'm not saying you're a like Chase fanatic, but you're a Chase fan. You like Chase.
I like Chase. Yeah.
Yeah. So as a quote unquote maybe a Chase fan, maybe you're not in the category that Denny was talking about, but. What's your honest feelings on that?
Chase was a victim of circumstances. It was a racing incident, and unfortunately, he was in the wrong place at the wrong time.
Yeah, so...
No, I don't...
Denny
took
him out last year. Denny took him out this year.
But to think that's premeditated.
Absolutely not. I mean, how would you premeditate getting into Kurt and have Kurt come down?
Absolutely not. Again, trolls on Twitter, man. That's why...
It's full of them.
Yeah.
It's full of them.
And I talked about last week, you know, last week they were attacking Eddie Gossage about Texas. It's like they're going to be out there, you know, regardless of who they really root for, who they say they're rooting for. I think they just want a medium to bitch on, and that's what they do week in and
week
out.
It's so easy on Twitter to bitch about
stuff. Yeah, when you hide behind your keyboard, yeah.
Yeah, keyboard jockeys. So. Yeah, I agree. I've never been one to really say anything negative on Twitter or try not to. I just kind of call it how I see it.
Right.
But the amount of people who do say stupid shit and do stupid things, it's amazing.
Yeah, yeah. So, no, there's no way that was premeditated. Before we go on, how'd your pick this week go? I know you said you had Chase and
horrible
Jones.
Yeah, Jones. So at one time it looks really good, but the end result was horrendous. So I had Chase at 23rd, Jones at 17th, which was a 20th place average.
Oh, okay.
20th place, Lugs. So, I just have a William Byron average.
20th. Hey, man, he finished ninth this weekend. Yeah, he was my dark horse.
He won, and we'll go ahead and say this now. He won Rookie of the Year.
Yeah,
he already did. Had it locked up.
He did, but you know what? He was up front. He was in the top 10 pretty much all day.
Yeah, he didn't do too bad. There was an issue at the beginning, right, where he was back a little bit, but then he...
Yeah, I don't know. I know whenever that wreck happened with Hamlin and Kurt and Chase, he got swept up in that freaking...
But still finished ninth.
Yeah, freaking Jimmy Johnson plowed into the back of him and gave him a bunch of damage. And
so you had Chase, you had Jimmy, you had William Byron, and you had Bowman in that wreck. All of them were in that wreck.
Yeah, they got some sort of damage, so... But Byron did come back for ninth, and then my pick for winning the race. I forgot who it was.
Yours?
Yeah.
I don't remember. I listened to it, and I don't remember. I should take notes. I'm sorry. Do you forgive me, Lungs? So I did listen to yours and Sokka's episode last week. You guys did a really good job.
Thank you.
Yeah, Sokka did a horrible job filling in for me. He doesn't quite live up to my standards, but hey, you did a good job, Lux.
Well, thanks. I really had to step up and do the...
You did. I was proud of you. I felt like almost like a father that let his baby bird fly from the nest.
Well, thank you. I completely lost my notes on... Oh, it was Harvick. Harvick was my pick. Yeah, Harvick was my pick. I thought he would bounce back better, and, you know, he was... I was looking like a genius till they cut that tire down, and then he never really kind of rebounded to the lead after he cut that down in round one. So my average was seventh, but Sokka schooled us this weekend. His pick was Newman, and then he picked the winner, Kyle Busch. So he had a 5.5 average. So he got us this weekend.
Yeah, definitely good there. And man, what about Matt Kenseth finished seventh?
Yeah, and you know the sad thing is him and McMurray, dude. They didn't really say much about either one of them.
You get to this time of year, exactly. It's only on the people left in the chase.
Yeah, that's exactly where I was going to go with that. Is there so much focus? Everybody else that has a good or decent run, they just totally get neglected, man. So I hate that. I really do. See who else. Some other notables. Michael McDowell came home 16th. Chris Buescher 18th. Dylan was 19th. So... David Reagan, 20th. I mean, good runs by those. Allmendinger, second to last race for him and that team, came home 12th.
Bubba, man, 10th.
Yeah, and 10th. Bubba.
And he did the week before at Texas. He actually had a really good car.
Yeah, because we briefly mentioned it. Kyle Busch was trying to get past him and could never.
So I know the last couple of races is great momentum for him. And hopefully next week at Homestead, it continues to build on for 2019.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. So. But yeah, overall, I mean, I enjoyed the race, the package, the results that came out of it. There was a lot of, hold your breath, you know, this car's in, this car's out. I mean, Almirola almost stole a win there and positioned himself to go to Miami by potentially kicking Harvick out. It didn't happen, but everybody, I think, thought, oh my God, this is potential. This could happen here with whatever it was, 10 to go or 20 to go when they had that last restart.
Yeah, I mean, you really had no clue. I mean, you kind of went in assuming, but then there's every little bit in that race, you're like, there's a little bit of doubt. There's a little bit more doubt. Because there's so many different things that were happening.
And Keselowski really turned up the heat there at the end. You know, maybe Kyle was, you know, just kind of bringing it home at his own leisure and keeping a comfortable pace there and letting Keselowski... catch up to him, but Keselowski was really coming there towards the end of that race. So I don't know if, again, you know, Keselowski had the better car, if Kyle was just kind of keeping him at bay. And then Larson came home third, and that was with him pitting. Remember, he pitted for a loose wheel very, very late in the race, and he still came back for third. So kudos to him. You know, I'm going to go ahead and say it. Next week, Larson's playground. Even though you thought, even though you're like, he hasn't won a race there. Yeah, yeah. He has in the Xfinity series. So I'm gonna go ahead and call it now.
I have in my dreams. It's my track too.
He's my dark horse for next week.
I'm sure I've won at least once on NASCAR Heat 2 or something.
So yeah, but we'll see what happens there. But let me ask you this. So,
okay, ask me. Did it ask me?
Ever ask me. Come across your mind that maybe Kyle Busch could throw the race win away to let Almirola go and check out?
Absolutely. Before they even talked about it, I was thinking it. I'm like, man, strategically.
So, are you saying if you were in Kyle's seat, or are you saying would Kyle do it?
Hold on. If I was in Kyle's seat, okay, and I've won as many races that he already has. Mm-hmm. I can sacrifice one.
Mm-hmm.
I will sacrifice for...
Because you know you could go to Homestead and beat Almirola.
But I can't guarantee I'll beat Harvick.
Yep. Okay.
Absolutely. I was thinking it. I was actually kind of hoping for it just to see... I wanted to see someone play a strategy game like that.
But does that violate the 100% rule? Remember? All teams are expected by NASCAR to go, you know, 100%.
Where's that written at?
It's in the big old thick book of the rule book. Who knows? It's probably written in Braille.
Bottom line is, there are times where every team does not go 100%.
But again, that's part of strategy.
A driver could be having a bad day. I mean, there's so many different things. But NASCAR is more than just having the fastest car.
It's strategy.
It is strategy.
Yeah, exactly.
And that is a strategic move. I'm just saying that if I was his, I'd be very pushed to try to do that.
Can you imagine the uproar, though, if that would have happened?
No, yeah.
The fallout, I mean...
I think it would have been 50-50. I think you have people like, oh my God, that's genius. And other people going, oh, that's bullshit.
Yeah.
So I think, obviously, you would have your Twitter trolls that we've been talking about.
Mm-hmm.
But I think some people will applaud him and say, hey, man, it's a game. It is a game.
Yeah.
You play to win the game.
Exactly. So ultimately, you know, if that was the case, he would just have to beat Logano, you know, Almirola, and Truex would be his biggest challenge, in my opinion. Now, don't take this the wrong way. Any one of the four, anybody that goes to Homestead with a shot at the championship has got a shot at winning it. Don't get me wrong, right? But in realist terms, Truex would be his biggest competitor if he was able to take Harvick out at Phoenix.
Ideally, yes, but I think Logano's going to surprise some people.
Well, I do too. I mean, they're all dangerous, let's be honest.
Yeah, absolutely are.
Last year, Keselowski made it. You know, it was the same four organizations, but it was Keselowski instead of Logano. But Keselowski never really had the car to challenge. It was a three-man race between Harvick, Truex, and Busch. This year, Logano, that organization's on a slightly another level, in my opinion. Plus, they've had 2 weeks to get ready.
Yeah,
they've been locked in.
Yes. We have premium talent, premium cars. Fighting for the championship this weekend.
Yeah.
So, sorry, I almost burped. I apologize.
I'm so excited, man. Even though I respect all the drivers.
Hey, keep the touching to yourself to this weekend. Don't do it now. I don't want to see it.
Shut up.
I know you're super excited, but that doesn't mean you have to really know.
Keep it PG. Come on. I'm just excited, man. I think it's going to be a dogfight. I think it will come down to a late race restart, and I think those four cars are going to be in the first two rows, and it's going to be chaotic.
I don't disagree with you.
And it's going to be whoever makes the least amount of mistakes, obviously. I mean, that comes down to every weekend,
I think there's going to be one car not in the chase that's going to make a big impact. Either making a stupid decision, taking someone out. I just have this feeling there's going to be some outsider playing some kind of
some
big
variable,
part.
Yeah. And to be honest, we've not really seen that a lot. You know, the last 4 or 5 years, it's come down to the championship contenders battling for the race win, right? And there's not been a whole lot of drama. The most drama that I can think of was 2016, whenever Logano wrecked Edwards, and that ended Edwards' championship bid, and Johnson narrowly scooted through there and went on to win the championship. You know, and he was by no means being talked about as a contender or a favorite, right?
Right.
He totally took advantage of that situation. So
I mean, you have no idea what's going on this weekend. Yeah. It's crazy. That's one great thing about the Chase.
And the great thing about that is that's just one of three races this weekend.
Yeah.
The Truck Series is Friday night. That's going to be a good one to watch. So we'll go ahead and just talk about that and throw that out there. Johnny Sauter, Noah Gragson, Brett Moffitt, Justin Haley are four contenders for the Truck Series Championship. So, again, that'll be Friday night. And then Saturday, we've got Christopher Bell, who
just scooted in. Started at the back of the pack. Yeah.
At Phoenix. Yeah, started dead last. Didn't even make a qualifying attempt, man. I thought for sure that he was – I wrote him off, man. I was like, there's no way. No way he's going to win this. And you know what? Damn it, he went on and he did it. So he's going to battle with Custer, Cole Custer, Daniel Hemric, and Tyler Reddick on Saturday. So,
an interesting tidbit, which we already know, Tyler Reddick will not be back with his team next year.
Yep, going to RCR. So I think that's going to be a good race to watch. It's, in my opinion, I think that's going to be a close race as well. But to me, I think it's going to be Christopher Bell and Cole Custer battling it out there. What do you think?
Cole Custer. Hmm.
And I say that
because... I say Chris Bell for sure.
Because Cole Custer has had a piece at most of your mile and a half tracks. And last year, he won Homestead by almost 10 seconds.
Damn, I don't remember that.
Yeah, he dominated. And he wasn't in the championship four.
Hmm. Okay, maybe... I don't see Cole Custer in it. I say it's going to be Tyler Reddick and... Chris Bell. I got frogs in my throat, I guess. Yeah. We got to stop eating supper before we do the podcast.
Hey, I don't have any issues.
Every week I do. Sorry, another one. I mean, I think it's going to be between Tyler Reddick and Chris Bell.
That's fair. I mean,
It's so hard.
Truck Series, it's
Brett Moffitt. I'm going Brett Moffitt for the Truck Series.
Why?
He's the underdog story this year. Although, I guess they all kind of are.
I mean, Justin is a little bit.
Yeah. Moffitt won this past weekend. He's just kind of a hot-handed guy. I don't know. That's who I'm going with.
Yeah. I mean, it could be any four of them, obviously. But Sauter's the season veteran.
Oh, yeah.
Right? He's got a lot of wins. He's got a lot of wins this season. And Justin Haley's his teammate, so they're going to have very similar equipment there. But Haley's not went out and set the world on fire this season. Yeah, he's got a couple wins.
We've kind of seen him win a race.
Until it got taken away.
Kind of, yeah.
Rebuted to Larson. But, you know, I don't know. We'll see what Haley does. I don't have him as my favorite. I think it'll come down to Sauter or maybe Gregson.
Which will be with another team next year.
Yeah, at his last race in that truck. So, will that play into it?
Who's taking his spot? Since we're talking about news, who's taking his spot?
Good segue there. Harrison Burton, yes. Jeff Burton's son, announced today, like literally, I think, an hour before our podcast, Harrison Burton's going to take over that ride. So, cool for him.
Yeah, absolutely cool for him. All right, so trucks, I got Moffitt. Who you got?
Oh, man.
Choose someone now, damn it.
I'm going to go Sauter.
Okay. Xfinity, I got Bell. Who you got?
I'm going to go Custer. I talked him up. I can't.
Okay. And Cup, I've got Harvick win the race and win the championship. Who you got?
Well, you know who I got.
No, I don't. Let's pretend I don't.
I got Kyle Busch.
Win the race or the championship or both?
Both. I think you're going to have to win that race to win the championship.
Yeah, I think so too.
With these four, I mean, these four drivers have won, what, like 25 races out of the season?
Yeah.
I mean, ridiculous. Of course you're going to have to win this race.
In other seasons, it felt like you just had to finish good. This season has a completely win or nothing feel to it.
I mean, seven wins apiece, or is it eight, for Harvick and Kyle alone.
Counted wins or non-counted wins?
Yeah, exactly. That's a good point. Yeah, you're totally.
Yeah. How many times has Harvick been penalized?
Twice.
Twice? Yep. Yeah, so he's lost a total of 80 points.
Yeah.
Or was it three times? Two wins and one something else?
I think it was just two, but okay. I could be wrong. It doesn't happen very often, but sometimes it does.
Sure. We'll go with that.
What do you think about Truex? I mean, we all know he's got a fast car and he's capable of winning the championship, but this is Furniture Row's last race.
Yeah, so let me... I kind of mentioned this earlier to you when we were eating supper, but this is my feeling. I think Harvick's going to win it. I think he's going to win the championship. He's my prediction from the beginning of the season. However, you call it sentimental if you want. I want Truex to go out and win this championship for the team's closing us doors. I mean, effectively, all these guys are either moving on to Gibbs or losing their jobs.
Yeah.
The team's shutting down. It'd just be a nice feeling for them to get a championship
and
on
defend
their
title. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Then go to Gibbs and show Gibbs that he can't win a race and not ever win again.
What? That doesn't make any sense.
No, I just how to give the middle finger to Gibbs for the way he treated Barney Visser.
Yeah, but not by joining him.
I want Truex to continue to win.
If he was going to another team, that would be a giant middle finger salute to go out, win the championship, and then, you know, say screw you for tripling the cost of our equipment.
Yeah. And for the ones that do not know, Barney Visser had a contract with Joe Gibbs for the last 2 years to be a partner. Going into next season, Joe Gibbs increased the price to be a partner by threefold.
It was either two or three.
It was three. It was at first the first discussion to come out said two, then they come back and update it to three times more. 3 times more than what they were already.
And
paying.
You're losing a primary sponsor. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. So who's going to be your sponsor? Nobody pulling in that kind of money to help offset those costs. Mm-hmm. So you're paying a premium penny with nothing coming in. Even as a champion, you couldn't find a sponsor in a short of time like that. So he kind of got screwed. Barney just kind of got screwed in all directions.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. So it does suck for them and everybody involved with that shop. Hopefully they'll be absorbed with other teams within the industry.
I mean, effectively, Gibbs got tired of getting beat by his own equipment.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, it's a dog-eat-dog world. We live in that, and it's not just the NASCAR industry, right?
Not at all. I don't have anything else on the race. I want to get to our Twitter competition.
Yeah, and before we do that, I just want to mention sad week. We should have probably started with this. A legend
probably. Passed. I had it down to talk about later in my notes here, but yes, that's
yeah. We lost a legend this week of the sport, David Pearson.
The Silver Fox.
Yeah, passed away Monday. So newer fans that, you know, aren't familiar with him, go.
Most underrated driver of all time.
Absolutely. He basically had 105 wins in half of the starts of any of the elites like Petty and Earnhardt and Gordon. So it really puts in perspective the skill that he had.
So, Lugs, I just want those out there that, you know, we're fans of the sport. We started this podcast because we are fans of the sport. Mm-hmm. Week 3, we did an episode for our top 10 drivers.
Mm-hmm.
I thought I knew a lot about, you know, drivers in the sport, but I really dove in deep to try to analyze these drivers so I could pick my top 10 drivers of all time. David Pearson, I did not realize the stats he had. So I really did not give him the respect that he deserved until we did that episode.
Yeah, yeah. And I think that's easy for modern era fans, right? To you know, kind of out of sight, out of mind.
My dad always talked about him, but I didn't really listen.
Yeah, yeah. And I think it's just part of life, right? You know, you're so focused on what's in front of you, and you can kind of, it's easy to not forget, but not be present-minded about the history that preceded the sport. So, again.
Definitely underrated, true legend of the sport. He represented the sport, passion, fierce competitiveness, just the way he presented himself, the team he drove for, classic. It's true NASCAR.
Yeah.
That's what he represented.
They had some really cool stories on Sirius XM channel, NASCAR channel, the other day. Leonard Wood called in and was telling stories about when Pearson drove for them, and it was just really cool to hear some of those stories. So, fans, go out there, do your research, and watch some YouTube videos, and pay some tribute and respects to him.
So this podcast has essentially changed my life, and I'm sure it did for you too, Lugs, because we are more in tune to this sport than we've ever been before.
I would agree, yeah.
So there's a lot of thoughts and stuff that I thought I had that this has exposed me to a whole different world that now I'm a whole different person for the way I've listened and prepped for this podcast over this past season. So, like, it's talking about David Pearson, just the way I did not realize how impactful and big for the sport that he was until we started doing this.
Absolutely.
Small teams, the impact small teams have on the sport. The Wood Brothers, perfect example. People look at the Wood Brothers as a powerhouse, NASCAR powerhouse. They've been around forever.
Mm-hmm.
They don't run that many full-time seasons.
Right.
They did this year.
Yeah.
But prior to recent, they really didn't do it a whole lot.
Right, right.
So, I mean, the sport is really driven on small teams.
Absolutely.
Even if Rob Kaufman wants to stick his head up his ass and pretend it's not, it is.
I don't even want to hear his name in company with Pearson's.
No, you're absolutely right, and I apologize.
But
true legend, very sad news. There's only one time in my life I've ever cried for a racer, and that was when Dale Sr. died. And I was very close for David Pearson.
Really?
I was. It just because, like I said, I really did not realize until this year how much of an impact that guy had. And I would almost put him, I think I had him third on my list behind Petty and Sr. But really skill-wise, he's probably better than both of them.
Yeah. And I don't think anybody would try to discredit that statement.
They would because they don't know him. They're like us. We know Petty, we know Earnhardt, because we've been preached as for years. Because David Pearson didn't have the amount of races behind him as the other one.
Exactly.
So I think people would argue because they don't know.
Yeah, but until you dig in and actually compare this to statistical analysis, yeah, absolutely.
So that was ignorance on my part. I was educated this year, and unfortunately, we lost a legend. You know. So.
Yeah, yeah. You were going somewhere before that. Where were you going with it?
No, I was just going to talk about news, but I was just talking about how small teams. You know, he's kind of the epitome. You know, at the beginning of a small team in NASCAR.
Yeah.
I mean, if you want to stay on the topic of small teams, we can because I was going to talk about something. But.
Yeah, go ahead.
So on I mentioned this on Twitter. So something really cool happened today. So last week I think it was last week, I ordered a Tommy Joe Martin shirt from BJ McLeod Motorsports.
Mm-hmm.
People are like, oh, why would you order, you know, Tommy Joe Martin from BJ McLeod? One, the shirt was badass looking. It had different color skulls on it. It was a really cool looking shirt. That's why I ordered it.
Okay.
But people, support your small teams. So anyway, what happened? Is I'm a fat guy. I wear big clothes. So they called me and said, hey, sorry, you know, the merchandise manager, whatever, called me, Natalie. And she said, hey, sorry, but the size is wrong on our website. We actually sold that at Texas. We don't have it in stock. We haven't updated our website. I apologize. She kept apologizing.
This is over
like,
the phone, you said?
Yeah, yeah. So she called me and she's like, just to make it right for you, I'm going to send you a crew shirt if you're okay with that, which is, I mean, if you look on the website, it's a lot more money. So I mean, yeah, I mean, I'm not doing it so much because I want to support Tommy Joe Martin's. I'm doing it because I thought the shirt was cool and I want to support smaller teams. Yeah. I become now such a fan of these smaller teams. Like for example, Vinny Miller was on our show.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't really know him.
Yeah.
Didn't know anything about him really.
Right.
He came on a show. I became a fan instantly just the way he interacted with us.
Absolutely.
Folks, I tell you, working in this industry, you learn that smaller teams will bend over backwards to talk to you, to get to know you, whatever. Big teams, they'll ignore you and would never pay attention. I've reached out so many times for people to come on the show, I never hear back. Or I get told one thing and something else happens.
And I get that, right? They probably have
A
1,000 inquiries a month, right?
I'm sure, And in their defense, you're absolutely right. But the smaller teams that we've had the great pleasure of talking to, they've been such a pleasure.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I don't really know anything about this guy. He probably sucks. No, it's not the case. It's they're underfunded, and they are busting their ass to try to get that dollar to help out.
Yeah.
If you have an extra $15, throw it towards BJ McLeod and get a Tommy Joe Martin shirt. They're really cool looking shirts.
Yeah.
I'm sure most of you wear a smaller size than I do. You'd be okay.
Or maybe they'll get more stock of the bigger sizes.
She said that they have re-signed Tommy Joe for 2019, so there's a chance they'll get more of those shirts in for next year. But they're kind of winding down their inventory because it's the end of the season, which makes sense.
Cool.
So anyway, If we start our video podcast like we're maybe talking about maybe doing, I'm wearing that shirt very first episode.
Cool, cool.
Because we're going to start wearing NASCAR shirts, right?
Yeah, I think that's what we said.
Yeah. So anyway, support your local teams, your small teams, reach out. Talk about that. Trevor, the guy we sponsored over in Myrtle Beach, was on the show last week. Fantastic 17-year-old kid. Finished 10th. He dropped all the way to the back, worked its way back up, finished 10th. This coming weekend is the big race.
Oh, cool. Yeah, yeah, that's right. Plus, one other thing, you had a little Twitter giveaway, didn't you? You want to do that?
Oh, yeah, yeah, exactly. I'm sorry. Thank you. I mentioned to that earlier.
Yeah, I remember what it was, yeah.
All right, so Twitter logs has a list of names to pull out of the hat. Okay, so go ahead and pull me a name, Lugs.
Well, it's numbers, right?
Well, okay, so yeah, that's fine. Go ahead, pull a number, because I have a list of names with the numbers next to the name. So pull me a number and tell me the number.
Number 9.
9. Okay, this is not rigged, I promise. Tommy Murphy. Tommy is actually a very well-known fan of ours. He's actually on the show.
Came on, yeah.
Yeah. So excuse me, I apologize. Thomas Murphy.
Yeah, yeah.
Please submit your address, your phone number to us, so we can send you your gift. Thank you.
Yeah, I promise that was not rigged. I watched.
No, we actually had
Gasman here number all of them and put those numbers into a hat. So.
So I definitely.
That's ironic.
Yeah, it is. It is. It's funny.
And we had a decent amount of people enter.
That's what I was going to say.
We should have had more, I think.
Oh, yeah, probably. But I'd be honest with you, I didn't really push it that hard either. Okay. But it is a pretty sweet looking hat. It's a camouflage.
Yeah, it is.
Where's it at? Yeah, right there it is. Yeah. Oh, hold on a second. I'll take a look at here. So it's a camouflage hat with our logo on it. I had a local lady make these for us. But yeah, it's pretty sweet, man. I thought about stealing one of them that we have and wearing hunting this weekend. But it's going to be too damn cold to wear a regular hat like this, so.
Good. Got to pull out the winter gear.
Yeah, I've got my merino wool gear that I'll be wearing this weekend for sure.
Well, cool. Ooh, Thomas, yeah. Shoot us your info so we can get this beautiful hat out to you. Some more news, and I feel like I'm kind of all over the board here, but I'm going back to Xfinity. There's a couple of Xfinity news pieces here. It was announced this week Jeffrey Earnhardt is going to race races for Gibbs next year in Xfinity. How about that?
That is awesome. Actually, I am really happy he's going to get the opportunity. Here's the funny thing. Did you see any of the Twitter response from Dale Jr. on this?
Yeah, a little bit. He just basically, you know, said congratulations, and he's excited to see what he can do in the equipment. Yeah.
So someone asked him, hey, you have a spot open. Why didn't you give it to him? And his response was, He said he knows we had a spot open. He did not reach out to me or Kelly. He's like, honestly, I didn't even know about this.
Yeah,
he kept
it
secret from him. He's like, the bottom line is Jeffrey Earnhardt wants to do it all on his own. He doesn't want any handouts or freebies or anything. And he wants to work for what he gets.
And I think there's something to be said for that.
Absolutely. He's proving that just because he has the name, he's not going to take it for granted.
He's not getting a silver spoon. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm really excited to see what he can do in Gibbs equipment because, to my knowledge, I can't really remember or has he been in, you know,
top equipment?
That type of equipment
No,
before.
Not at all. Not at
all. So, very excited to see what he can do next year. I hope he gets some good results and he can further, you know, improve his career. Other news, so it was announced Austin Cindric is going to go full-time to Penske in the 22 next year.
Yep, I've seen that as well.
So that's cool.
Definitely going to be a championship contender next year.
Yeah, I mean, he was this year up till, you know, he got eliminated this weekend. But yeah, absolutely, even furthermore. So the more experience he gets, I think more dangerous he will be for sure. And then did you see they're going to have two different broadcasts of the race this week?
Yeah, I thought it was really, you know, I keep bitching about NBC Sports Network.
Mm-hmm.
But this is actually, if they did this every week, this would be a really big benefit.
So do you know what the differences are?
Yeah, so on NBC, regular, you know, TV, they're going to have the regular coverage on NBC.
With Rick Allen and
Dell Jr. Latar.
Yeah.
So on NBCSN, they're having a special coverage where they're doing like a side by side with the championship contenders, following them throughout. And it's going to be, is it Dale Jarrett?
Dale Jarrett, yep.
Okay, I thought there's one other person.
There is, and I can't remember who it is off my head. But you know what? I'm going to watch that one because
I probably will as well.
While I like Jeff Burton and I like Steve Letarte, Rick Allen gets on my nerves a little bit.
What about Dale Jr.? You kind of forgot him.
Maybe he's going to be on the.
No. SM. You didn't. No, he's not regular. But
maybe it's completely. Maybe it's one of those three though. They're moving. I can't remember. But no, it's Dale Jarrett and somebody, and then I read three were going to be on the full NBC podcast. But regardless, I'm going to watch whichever one doesn't have Rick Allen.
You've never been a fan of Rick Allen.
I don't, man. They need to bring back Alan Bestwick.
Yeah, Mike Weber.
Mike Weber. Who's that? Bill Weber.
Bill Weber. Whatever.
The magician.
Yeah, the magician. Anyway, I'm trying to remember now what I was going to say.
the two different casts, NBC and ESPN.
So every time I hear Steve Letarte talking, and he's like, it's not showing his face, like it's just like showing the cards and he's talking, I swear it's Kyle Petty talking.
Why? They sound
just alike.
Really?
Just alike to me.
Kyle Petty used to annoy me a lot, but I guess I've gotten immune to him.
Yeah, I'm not a big Kyle Petty fan.
I guess I've just gotten used to his voice or
not his comments. Nowhere near as annoying as Michael Waltrip, though.
Yeah, I'll go ahead and agree with that one. But, you know, anyways, cool for NBC to take the initiative to do something different there. I don't think I can remember a time they've done something like that in the past. And I haven't told you this, but I actually signed up for Sling.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, I did the orange package.
Okay, yeah.
And it comes with NBC Sports.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I technically have Sling because I piggyback off my mom.
See, and that's what I was doing. I was piggybacking off of someone's DirecTV account. And now, instead of just going through DirecTV where I was doing my login, they're combined with AT&T now. So you actually have to log into AT&T. To get those credentials and reset it and everything. So I was like, screw this. It was like right before Texas started.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm not going to mess with this. I'm just going to... I actually signed up and I did the 7-day trial for Sling. And it was like $20 outside of that. And you can add enough for another $5, you get like 50 hours of DVR. Mm-hmm. I didn't do that, but I'm thinking about it. But anyways, nonetheless, it had NBC Sports, FS1, FS2, a lot of... I think there's like 40 channels.
All that was under the orange package?
Yeah. So I'm like.
Because my parents have the orange and blue package. They pay like $60 a month and they have a couple extra add-ons.
Yeah. So
or
I'm
something.
Like, $20 a month, I'll do at least finish out the NASCAR season.
Sure.
And have access to it. And then I came to realize last week during ISM that there's not regular channels on there. So I had to bust out my antenna to pick up NBC. Yeah. But this week, I'm going to check out the NBC Sports. Broadcast and see what that looks like.
Yeah, so it's really funny because I was talking to my mom about Sling and how she should get rid of it and get Hulu Live.
Mm-hmm.
So she did, but she never did cancel her Sling. So she's got Hulu Live and Sling, which are basically the same damn thing.
Good grief.
Yeah, exactly.
Baller status.
Mom, not very smart.
So, what else you got? There was something about...
What about NASCAR making an offer?
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was going
to
say.
To buy International Speedway Corporation.
Jinx.
Yeah.
Buy me some Coke. I mean...
Buy you some Coke? Hey, that's not powdered donuts on my nose.
Yeah,
said,
I don't know.
You didn't say buy me a Coke. You said buy me some Coke. that's a big difference.
It's from The Office, man. You got to
watched that in so long.
Yeah, Creed says that. Him and Michael Jinx, and he, Creed was a funny character. So just whatever. You have to go watch it.
Okay.
I don't know. I mean, I kind of see the point. Like, let's own everything so that we can make our own... decisions.
Or, hold on a second. Are they trying to own it all so they can sell it as a big package?
I mean, that could be it, too. Could be.
Yeah,
could be.
That's kind of where I was leaning.
But they said they're not selling it. I mean, they come out and said that, so.
Okay.
You got to believe everything Frank says, just like he's not guilty.
That's what I was getting ready to say. Okay, yeah, just because they said it makes it all true, yeah.
Which, that's coming up, I think, in December, his next court hearing.
What a jackass.
Pleaded not guilty. Anywho, back to ISC. Yeah, I could see either one of those being viable situations. So they're either going to get it all together and sell it, or they're really going to put something new in play for, what is it, 2021, whenever they can dice up the schedules again.
Yeah, it's... if that's the direction they're going, I'll
that's
love it.
Where I my love mind it. Went was, yeah. Hey, if we own everything, we don't have to listen to their board of advisors bid on, you know, they tracks get one date or two dates or night race or day race or whatever the hell it is. So that's where my mind went with it when I heard it.
Yeah, they can kind of make decisions on their own about events and stuff
and direct
like that. Yeah.
The sport where it needs to freaking go.
But in my mind, I'm always like, what's the catch? What's the end game? And that's where I went to, I think,
with Arca.
Arca.
When they bought Arca.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, what was the end game, you know?
So that's what came to my mind, and that's the way I was leaning, is maybe they're trying to bundle it as a package to sell, to make it a little bit more appetizing. So,
and yeah, very well could be. So time will tell, as it usually does. And then you had something about... Newman, little discrepancy with him and his crew chief.
Newman, that's Sokka's favorite driver. He's chosen him every time he's been on the show.
Yeah, I think, and ironically, he's been on here for like every flat track, which Newman
does
all right at. So.
Yeah, exactly. So anyway, it's a kind of a disappointing season. You know, they didn't make the chase. This is Newman's last season at RCR. He's heading to Roush. So, anyway, I'm not for sure. You may have actually heard the audio. I did not.
Mm-hmm.
But essentially, Newman called out the crew chief for the car sucking. Yeah. And then the crew chief called out Newman and say, can't wait till he goes to Roush.
Yeah, yeah. Saying, you know, you only got to put up with us for one more week. So, yeah, go check out Scan All or Radioactive, and you can hear it. But it got pretty heated, I'll say that. It definitely sounded like Newman is ready to get going to Roush.
And that's disappointing, because I thought Newman was a good fit for RCR.
Yeah, but...
I just can't see him in a Roush car. For some reason, it's just
been there so long, man. You know he's got to be a little burnt out. I mean, he's had, one race in the last... 3-4 years probably, maybe 2 races in the last 3 or 4 years. I mean, that's got to be, you know, in the back of your mind, I guess, as you're getting towards the later stages of your career, not winning as much. And
yeah,
I mean, every driver goes through it, but it's got to lead to that frustration, that boiling point.
It just sucks, but yeah, but you know, we'll see how he does next year. Redemption, you know,
talking about last rides, this is the last weekend for Lowe's on Jimmy's car, and the last weekend for Jimmy and Chad being together.
Last weekend for 5-Hour Energy, last weekend for Barney Visser.
A lot of last
ups. There's a lot of last, yeah.
So,
evolution of the sport this year.
They were talking about this on NASCAR America earlier this week. Do you think Chad and William will get a win before Jimmy and his new crew chief?
No.
Think it'll be vice versa.
Yeah,
Jimmy will win.
I think Chad. Yeah, and because of Jimmy, that's why.
Okay.
He'll put himself in less compromising spots and stuff than William will. William's still young, still learning. He'll put himself on the edge and tend to go over that edge a little bit more than Jimmy would, and you know, potentially hit the wall, wreck out, whatever.
I'm gonna disagree with you there.
Okay. What else is new?
and not just for that factor, but. I just, you know, Canales is a mastermind, and I don't know who Byron had when he won his Xfinity Series, who his crew chief was, but I just think that, I think they'll be really in tune with each other. I'll just say that.
Wasn't it Darian Grubb? No.
No, yeah, that's who he's got now.
Okay, never mind.
I can't remember.
Lance McGrew.
Yeah, I can't remember. Also, did you see that they are going to allow Rodney Childers in to celebrate with Harvick's team?
Oh, yeah. If they win, yeah, I did see that.
So, obviously, he's suspended. This is his second race suspension from the penalties in Texas. So, they're going to allow him to come in and celebrate with the team, but he will not be atop the pit box. So, any concerns there? Think that will influence the team's performance at all?
Absolutely not. I think it is what it is. They'll either win or they won't, and... Him being there for celebration has no impact on it. know Treme is so far in advance and stuff on these that they already had an influence weeks ago.
And I agree with you. And the fact of the matter is he's probably going to be sitting right outside the freaking track with a radio telling the crew, actual fill-in crew chief, hey, do this or do that.
Read, he cannot have communication with the team. However, he can be sitting in the stands as a fan. So technically, he could find ways around that.
Yeah, he just got note cards.
Like remember back in the day where they used to hold up signs to get people coming to the pits and stuff?
Yeah, pit boards. Yeah.
Yeah, same thing. Like, he's out there like giving directions.
Four tires, two tires, up a pound.
It's all code. He's holding up signs saying, like, go Harvick, and inside is written code some word. Kind of secret codes.
Yeah.
You know, like, lose a half a round of wedge or something.
I do agree with you there. So we, for once, agree on something. Did you hear our new segment last week? Agree or disagree? Yes, I did.
And I was actually very, well, other than, okay, there's some controversy about what was or not said. I remember hearing that. But anyway, I liked that episode or that segment.
Okay. Well, I've got another round.
Okay.
Well, your first round.
Yes.
Technically. So agree or disagree. And I made these questions last week. They were questions that I found up on various forums.
You stole them.
Yeah, but these, okay. I've got the original ones.
Let me hear you say you stole them.
No. So, agree or disagree, it's harder to get to Homestead than it is to win the championship.
Harder to get to Homestead? Well, I'm sure you have a map or an atlas that can get you there.
Ha ha. Glad you cracked yourself up.
I know. Than to win
so which
Homestead?
Which is more difficult, getting to Homestead or winning out of the four drivers heads up at Homestead?
I say getting there. There's a lot more obstacles.
I would tend to agree with you because you got
so I agree.
1 in 16 odds versus 1 in 4.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I agree.
Absolutely. Okay, so agree on that. And we talked about this one earlier, but I'm gonna bring it up again. Kyle Busch should have thrown the race win to Almirola in Phoenix to avoid battling Harvick at Homestead.
Disagree. Now, I said that I thought about it, but should he? No. No, it should. Morals come out. You should be balls to the wall. It is what it is.
But you're saying you would have if you were in his place. You said that
I
earlier.
Said, yeah, I'm saying I probably would have, yes.
But Kyle.
But I have no morals.
Oh, you heard
do,
it. You heard it, folks.
Do as I say, not as I do.
Yeah. Okay. Agree, disagree. Truex will have a better year with Gibbs in 2019.
Nope. Disagree. Okay. Absolutely disagree. He is on the top level podium right now. Next year, I know it's basically the same team, but then again, it's not. There's going to be some learning curves, and I think there actually will be a little bit of tension inside the team. A little desertion coming from one to the other. I don't think so.
Okay.
I'm not for sure if I'm supposed to give an analysis or just
you
say
can,
agree or disagree.
You can. Where I derived this from, you weren't able to, but, you know, this is our podcast. We do what we want.
Damn straight.
We already talked about this, and I'm going to say it again. Hamlin orchestrated the crash to purposely take Chase out.
Hell no. How in the hell would that happen?
Again, trolls.
Yeah.
Okay. And I'm writing these down just because my goal for 2019, I'm already setting my resolutions. I'm going to take better notes, and I'm going to record them on a laptop, and I'm gonna tally our wins on our picks each week.
Awesome. You know what?
I'm going to really step up.
If we were to, let's just say we happened to build a bar or something, we should have some kind of like magic erasure board.
Yeah, we could do that.
Like behind us that we can mark our stuff on. Just so in case we were ever to do something like that, we might be able to remember our shit.
Yeah.
Because I cannot remember our stuff from week to week.
Yeah, me neither. So my goal, that's my resolution for 2019 for the podcast. So, all right, and this one has nothing to do with Homestead. All these pretty much had to do with Homestead. But this one, just curious. I want to know, because I don't know that we've ever talked about this. And I bring it up because Ray Evernham was on the NASCAR studio show today.
Yes, he cheats too.
Shut up.
Is that what you're going to ask?
Of course not. On Aaron?
No, I wasn't talking about Aaron. I was talking about twin races for Jeff. But anyway, go on.
Oh, please. Who are you, Jack Roush? If Jeff Gordon and Ray Evernham stayed together, you know, instead of breaking it off in 2000, 2001.
No.
they would have matched or exceeded 7 championships.
Disagree.
What do you? Why?
Jeff Gordon doesn't have the skill.
Oh man, I almost fell out of my chair right there.
I know, right? That one is just for you, by the way. Man, that's a tough one, actually.
Where do you think they would have gotten to?
Man, that's really a tough one because I really did respect Everham as a crew chief. And Gordon as a racer, too, no matter how much shit I give you.
Yeah. So, together they won 3. Gordon only won 1 outside of having Everham. That was Robbie Loomis. But he did have 93 wins. The consistency just wasn't there.
I'm just going to say no, and the only reason why is the evolution of the sport. So, it's so hard. That's so hard to answer,
so,
man.
So, no, they wouldn't have matched or exceeded, but...
I could see him getting 5, 6. Yeah.
Okay.
I don't think it was out of the realm of possibilities at all.
Do you want to take a stab at the questions from last week, or do you want to call it?
No, go ahead. Throw them my way. I can't remember what they all... I just remember that one, and like, I'm listening to Sokka. I'm like, what the hell did he just say?
Yeah. I'm going to get to that one. So, again, agree or disagree... we should bring back racing back to the caution, or racing back to the line for caution.
Yeah, absolutely bring it back. There's too much excitement there. With the way the stages have presented itself and stuff like that, I say let's do it.
So I agree with you. The only concern I have, and this happened, I remember Dale Jarrett was sitting sideways in the middle of the track.
Oh, I remember that. Talladega, wasn't it?
I don't remember where it was, but
I remember that happening, yes.
So that's the only situation, you know, in safety, when there's a car sitting side with driver's side.
I think it's a call. I think if they throw a regular yellow, you race back. If they throw a yellow with a stripe, then they slow it down for safety reasons.
Mm-hmm.
And well, that's best of both worlds. You can do a yellow flag with an X, like a black X through it.
But they're not going to see that if they're...
But their crew chiefs could tell them. I mean, they all have radio communication to know.
Yeah.
Because they don't really see it anyway. They see the lights.
Right. That one.
So maybe you put a different light up with them.
Mm-hmm.
It's like an orange or something. But I don't know. I think there's ways to present it, but I definitely think they could.
Okay. Agree or disagree? Tobacco sponsorship should be allowed to come back into the sport.
Absolutely. If we have liquor in the sport, why can't we have tobacco? Tobacco, you're 18 years old and you can smoke.
I don't think we have liquor anymore.
We have beer. Okay, yeah, that's why I'm sorry. So alcohol, I should say, not liquor necessarily. Okay. Alcohol. So you have beer sponsors, 21 years of age,
mm-hmm.
Cigarettes, 18.
Yeah.
It makes more sense.
No, I do agree. I don't
like smoking, but alcohol, I mean, I like beer, but it's not the best thing for you.
Right. Well, and there's people that would argue that.
It's capitalism. Bring it in.
NASCAR, agree or disagree? NASCAR tries to control the outcome of races.
Oh man, I want to say no, but my heart says agreed.
I think there was a song about that.
I don't know, is there?
Yeah, it's like my mind is telling me no, but my heart is telling me yes. Something like that.
Thanks, Randy Travis.
All right, and then I think. Oh no, 2 more. You must be mandated, agree or disagree, must be mandated to park if you are more than 2 laps down.
No.
Yeah, that's dumb. Disagree.
No, yeah, I completely disagree with that, just for the fact that there's so much potential impact with points and everything else that could be involved. So, no, disagree.
Okay. And last one.
And this is the one with Sokka. I was like, what the hell is he saying?
Agree, disagree. Kyle Busch is a better driver than Dale Earnhardt. And that's a very broad statement, right?
So, but... yeah, it is. So yes and no. And, man, it's so hard to answer because raw talent, I honestly think Busch might be a better driver than Dale Sr. However... better overall when you take in emotions,
mm-hmm.
you take in like outcomes based on emotions, stuff like that. I think Senior's leaps and bounds above maturity level than Bush. So we've seen numerous times where Bush will get mad and go ballistic, make stupid mistakes on a racetrack because he's pissed off about something. You didn't really see that with Dale Sr.
Yeah.
Cool, calm, collected.
But he would speak his mind but he didn't cry about it.
Yes. So I think sometimes Bush's immaturity gets to him on the racetrack.
Mm-hmm.
And his desire to... Excuse me. Every time I go to talk, I'm like, yeah, I got aliens coming on my chest. Anyway, maturity level, I think Bush has more talent. Senior tapped it better. Like, tapped the talent better mm-hmm. that he had, mm-hmm. if that makes sense.
Yeah. Well, that's all I have in the questions. Okay. And for really tonight, I've got just one more thing. What else do you have?
Nothing, sir. All I have is a finger to give you just because I missed you last week.
Well, last thing I have, did you see they had Cody Mundy? It's a mammal that it basically comes from South America. But every year they have some sort of animal that picks one of the four drivers, right? They
have, no, I did not
they have
see
their
this.
Food. They have a food bowl, each number that's, you know, at Homestead.
Sure, so. Okay. I mean, I know and what you're talking about, but I don't know what this yet. Animal is, no.
Yeah, so it basically looks like a raccoon and an anteater.
Okay.
Combined. But who do you think they picked? Who do you think it picked, sorry?
Truex.
Nope.
Bush.
Yes.
Because M&M's. Oh. They smell like M&M's.
Yeah, so it did. It picked Kyle Busch as the winner in championship. And I will preface that even though I'm on board with its selection, because that's my pick as well, the animal that's picked the so-called winner of the championship each year has yet to be right. It's never been right.
Well, I don't think it'll be right again this year. So,
well, we will find out in a matter of days.
Yes, we will. So, folks, thanks for joining us for another exciting week. Thanks for having me back. I mean, it is kind of my show as well, but it feels good to be back. So, anyway, good to see you, Logs. I missed you. Kisses.
I wish I could say the same.
All right. Bye, folks.
Have a good week.
And the checkered flag waves on this episode. Tune in next week to keep updated on all things NASCAR. Please like us on iTunes and follow us on Podbean. We'd like to hear from you, so reach out to us too at wreckingandracing@gmail.com. Thanks again, and see you soon.